Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to Cecil's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, Denny Long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. Hope you and the crew and your family at Lloyd's, because let's face it, the crew at Lloyd's kind of is your family. you see them a lot.
You know, I joke, my wife jokes about that. As far as being awake, I see them more than I see her, for sure. So
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when you work closely with somebody for as long as you and I have worked with all the people we work with, they certainly do become part of our family, and that's nice. I think that's the way it should be.
Makes it really nice. While we're waiting for callers and texters, we're already getting some text messages. If you have any kind of a car care question on your car, truck, van, and you need to bring it in for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you can send Dan a text or give Dan a call, same number, 651-989-9226, and Dan can maybe give you a little more information before you do bring it in and what may be ailing that that vehicle. Again, 651-989-9226. I wanted to ask you, and I've been seeing these news stories that you're aware of too, because you and I talk about the theft of catalytic converters from time to time, which is really epidemic. But I think that's pretty neat that the St. Paul Police Department has become so proactive that they're spray painting, at least they're offering that, to citizens. And evidently that kind of hinders the sale of these things. You've seen that story, right, Dan?
I have seen that story, and I'm glad that anybody is doing anything. I think that that's awesome. And, you know, an awful lot of people that are getting their catalytic converters stolen can't afford what it costs to have them replaced. And, of course, the law requires that there be a catalytic converter on there, and the law requires that the vehicle not be that loud. And so they have no choice. They have to cough up the money and pay for getting them replaced. And the really sad part, Denny, is that, you know, on some of these converters, maybe the thief is getting a couple hundred dollars for the converter that he's cutting out and stealing. And oftentimes, to put an original equipment catalytic converter back in a newer car costs a couple thousand dollars.
Wow.
And so it's really disappointing that, you know, the whole transaction is a really bad deal for the car owner. So I'm just glad that they're doing something to slow it down. And, you know, I think where it really should be stopped is at the point of purchase for these stolen converters. They just should not be allowed to buy quantities like that from somebody who's clearly stolen them.
No, I totally agree. Let's go to those folks that are buying this stuff. Now, I didn't see the entire story, but evidently there are, and you can correct me on this, there are catalytic converters that don't have quite the same precious metals in them, or whatever you want to call them, right?
Well, that's true. In fact, most of the new cars, you know, the newer cars don't have the precious metals in them, but it's the older vintage, and I don't know, I can't remember exactly what the precious metals are, but, you know, some of those metals in the catalytic converter, they say are 10 times more valuable than gold. So, it's a big deal.
Well, I'm glad to hear the newer cars coming out will not have that type of converter. That's, and then those folks will think of something else to...
And then the other thing is when a catalytic converter has already been stolen, it's unusual for them to steal it twice, because especially if we put an aftermarket converter in, which is what we're doing on most of the older cars, the aftermarket converters are not worth as much either.
They're not worth the stealing. Let's go to the phones, Dan. I think Tom in Minneapolis has been waiting there to ask you something. Tom, good morning. You're on with Dan.
Good morning. Dan, I just bought a 2017 Volkswagen Tiguan. It only had 50 miles on it. But my concern is, you always talk about cars, the best thing for cars is to be run. Is there any concern I should have about the fact that it's a four-year-old car, but it only has 50 miles on it?
Well,
four-year-old car, but it only has 50 miles on it?
Well, you know, that it's been sitting on a dealer's lot for a long time, obviously. And so I think that I hope you got a good deal on it. That would be my first thought. But generally, no. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things about the car that age has to do with. For example, you know, the rubber on the tires have been sitting there for 4 years. The battery is 4 years old. All of that sort of stuff is going to deteriorate by age, not by mileage. And so, you know, you just have to be aware of those things. But I don't think that I would be afraid of the fact that it's 4 years old and only has 50 miles on it. But it also is, you know, when you weigh that against, you know, the fact that it is low mileage, I don't think that it's a benefit that it's only got 50 miles on it and it's a 2017. So when you wash it all out, I would say it's probably a net neutral, and it'll be just fine. I'm sure it'll serve you well. But it's not a great advantage that it's been sitting and not being used.
Okay, that's fair. All right, I'll tell you what, Dan, we need to take a quick break here. If you have any kind of a car care question, now's your chance, because Dan will take his leave about a half hour from now. So you've got about a 30-minute chance window to get those car care questions answered. 651-989-9226. 42 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's coming up to just about 717. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you, Denny Long, here along with Dan Burns, ASE certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive on St. Paul, in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Exactly where on Grand are you guys located, Dan?
Well, Denny, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria, kind of right in the heart of Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS. LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get that number to you before Dan takes his leave, which is going to be close to 7:45 or so this morning. So if you have any kind of a car issue, truck or van, call it in or text it in before it gets too late. 651-989-9226 is both the phone number and the text number. Speaking of phones, Dan, Curtis, I believe, is waiting there in Arlington to ask you a question. Thank you, Curtis. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a 2010 Toyota RAV4, and I have actually two issues. One, when I turn into, like, a driveway to the, if I'm on the right side going into the left side, it has, like, a clunk that happens in the rear of the car. Is that, like, shocks or something?
It certainly could be. There's shocks back there. There's the shocks mount to, and then there's also a sway bar back there. And that sway bar, those sway bar links get loose quite often, and they will make a clunking noise when you're turning and going over a bump.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis. That line is open if you want to chat with Dan, 651-989-9226. A texter wanted to know, when at Lloyd's Automotive, when you do an oil change, do you put oil in the filter before you replace it or not?
We do not. There are some people that are concerned about that, and they think that if you put a little bit of oil in the filter first, that it kind of primes the filter and the vehicle runs less time without lubrication. But to be honest with you, the when you shut the vehicle off, all of the internal components are still coated with oil. And so you can safely start it up like that. And the truth of the matter is, even if you put some oil in the oil filter, because of the way the valves and all that are in the oil filter, the oil filter is not completely saturated with oil anyway. And so it's the oil filter still has to fill up with pressure in order for it to be completely full. And then lastly, if you watch the, if you watch the oil pressure comes back like almost instantly, very, very quickly. So it's you know, if it makes you feel better, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's great, but it's not necessary.
Not necessary.
Well, and Danny, you know, if you notice like on your car where it's just a paper filter, you know, and we take the cover off and put a new paper filter, but it's actually a fibrous filter. But you put the new filter in, it would be absolutely impossible to fill that with oil. So on a lot of cars nowadays, it's not possible anyway.
Speaking of that, I noticed, and you mentioned that with this this type of a oil filter, is that more common or does that depend on the manufacturer? I'm thinking of these canister type filters that seem to be so prevalent. Maybe it's just the manufacturer, or is that changing?
That's good. It's becoming, I would say, more and more common all the time. You know, back in the old days, Denny, when I started in this business, there was about six oil filter numbers that covered every single car on the road, and now there's 100. And I don't know why you need that many, why it needs to be different, but that's true with filters, it's true with fluids, it's true with everything. Everything is different and requires tons more inventory for us, and it's just the way the world has gone.
Marketing, yes.
Yeah.
Tell you what, before we grab a forecast, let's get back to the phone. Sarah is calling from Hutch, I believe, this morning. Sarah, what's your question for Dan Burns?
Hi, Dan. We have a 2011 Ford Explorer, and kind of without warning, we'll hear like four knocks coming from the front end, and then our heat will take over, and we lose total control of our pressure, like our touch system, our panel. And the heat will be locked on until we turn off the car, and it doesn't matter if it's winter or summer or whenever it is. We've had the actuator replaced a couple of times, hoping that would do the trick. And this winter, we noticed that it's now, or conveniently, there's a second issue where the defrost will only clear the front windshield. It won't clear the side windows anymore, and it's always when the heat is stuck on.
So there's something wrong with, you know, the computer technology part of the car, and I'm not sure if that's in the module itself on the dash or if it's actually I'm not even sure what components are involved in that particular car, but, you know, there's the module that you're actually touching, and then there's a HVAC computer somewhere in the system, and then there's a whole bunch of sensors and inputs and outputs that can send the whole system into a default mode, which is what it seems like it's doing to me. And what we would do is we would hook it up to our computers and get the information out of it about what's going on when this is happening, and maybe even get it to happen, and we can freeze the information and have the information there and see if somewhere in the system it's something's causing it to go into that mode. And I would tell you that most commonly when a system like that goes into lockup, it has to do with the computer itself. Oftentimes there's something wrong in the computer system itself, and that's what causes that kind of situation. So anyway, I think you're going to need to bring that in and get some help on that if you've already brought it in of a situation. So anyway, I think you're going to need to bring that in and get some help on that if you've already brought it in and they're not getting to it, then I guess my recommendation would be try a different source and see if somebody can help you.
Get a different pair of eyes. All right. Dan, we're going to take a quick break here. Reminder that Dan will take his leave in about 12, 13 minutes or so. So we'll pick up on your phone calls and text messages on CCO's Car Care Show here on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long, along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, as usual, we have callers, we have texters, and we have limited time, as usual. Let's get back to the phones. I think Hillary is calling in from Springfield this morning. Hillary, what's your question for Dan?
Okay, we're kind of out of the cold weather right now, but when a car does not start, we immediately blame the battery. Now, why don't we consider the normal draw? Different automobiles and trucks, I imagine, when they are parked, the draw is different. So it's probably from 2 to 3 amps. And we know, or can you tell, or would you say that a draw of 5 amps is too much when the truck or vehicle is parked?
Yes. The normal reading on a vehicle is less than 10 milliamps, which is very, very low. 2 to 3 amps would be way too high. That would be, if we had 2 or 3 amps on, that would be like all of the interior lights were on or something like that. So if you have a draw of even 1 amp, that's much too high, and we would have to do some research and find out where that draw is coming from, because that's much too high.
Okay. Here's a text that says this, Dan, a 2007 Dodge Ram wants to stall when coming to a stop, but only when the gas tank has just been filled. Texter says, I've changed transmission filters, gas cap, EGR valve, clean TBI. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I haven't heard that, but I would think that it might have something to do with the evaporative system, Denny, where you've heard it. People ask this question after I fill my car with gas, I have it trouble starting it like it's flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if something like that is happening on your vehicle where when it's full of gas like that, that or fuel, that it's something is bleeding into the intake system, and when you're coming to a stop, it's too much fuel for the vehicle to handle, and it stalls.
Hmm.
So I'm wondering if something like that is happening. But there's a whole bunch of different chat lines on the internet that handle problems, and sometimes if you just type in what you're experiencing, maybe you'll find somebody that's seen something like that, and they would have an idea what's going on for you.
Okay. Let's see if we got time here for a text or two. Here's a 2014 Ford Escape. The heater turns on by itself when I start the car. What may be causing this?
Well, that's what we had a call earlier today about.
Yeah.
That, where something in the computer module is going awry. And so I think maybe if you brought it into a shop, they could get into that HVAC computer and see if there's any fault codes that are stored in there and get the information out of it and see if that information helps with what's causing that to happen.
See if you can get a quick answer here. It's a 2009 Kia Optima. Engine light is on again after having the funnel neck cleaned and a new cap put on. They say that with a smoke test, it showed there's a small leak at the top of the fuel tank due to rust. They quoted me $1,900 for a new fuel tank and fuel pump. Is that reasonable, is the question.
Well, I don't know much about prices, as you know, Denny, but that doesn't surprise me. That could very well be how much it costs. That might be normal. It's certainly easy to get another estimate on that. And I guess that's what I would recommend that you do. And that if you do have a leak in your gas tank due to rust, that certainly will cause your check engine light to come on. So to me, the whole story sounds like it's legitimate. The one thing you might want to do is get another estimate and see if that price is reasonable.
All right. Well, if folks want to get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's, how do we do that?
Well, you can give us a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or come on over. That's even best. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue.
Absolutely. Great shopping as well while you're waiting. Good deal. All right, Dan, have a good week. Well, let's do this next week as well.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
You bet. Thank you. Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.